God of grace, God of truth, we humble ourselves before you. We breathe deep your breath and ask that you would fill us up again afresh. Renew us, our minds, our hearts, our spirits. Every one of us, at some point, the Lord has failed, has missed the mark. And yet you say, come. Every one of us has not honored you, and yet you say, my grace is sufficient. Every one of us has fears or struggles or doubts. And you say that perfect love casts out fear. That you are the answer to us becoming what we've always been meant to in you. That your purposes and plans for us are for good. And it's our responsibility to lean into it. And we pray, Lord, that in this time, you would give us your peace, a peace that passes all understanding. That we gather together to glorify you, to worship you, but also to be changed and transformed. We pray for those who are not feeling well throughout our world right now. We pray for those who are trying to help fight the virus, prepare for the virus. Give them the strength, the wisdom. But help us remember that our faith in you is never misplaced. Our trust in you is what we need to do now more than ever. And so we ask again that you'd help us in this time to have that focus, that passion, that surrender, that humility, that hope. We pray this in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. We've been discussing this Believe series because I believe it's important. I believe it's important that we consider what we believe and why we believe it, and then what do we do about it? This season, we've been looking at how do we act as Christians? How do we move forward in faith? How do we move forward in trust and hope in the Lord, as well as relationship with others? We've talked about, a bit, again, the importance of worship, that we worship God for who he is and what he's done, that worship is everything in our lives, believe it or not. It's your going down, it's your getting up. It's you going to the local store, how you breathe and walk with the Lord every moment of the day. We also talked about how prayer is that place for us that God gives us to listen and to speak, to communicate. Communication isn't just waiting for the other person to stop speaking, gentlemen. Communication is listening, really being present. And it's about not maybe always having to say all the words, maybe just letting God take charge, letting him be God and helping us to find that strength and that peace. We talked about how important Bible study was. That Bible study is that opportunity for us every day to go and seek him and to learn and grow. Some of us, though, get stuck there, and we understand that. It's not an easy book. It's, again, 66 books, more of a library than a book, written by 40 different authors over a period of 1,400 years. That's a lot that's going on there and from different places of the world, and yet God continues to weave in this amazing line that you just keep seeing over and over again of what God's doing in this world and through his people. And so That's something that I think a lot of times people just don't know where to begin. And so we just try to encourage people, listen, it's not, don't get overwhelmed, but it's about starting out. You don't learn by, especially if you're an adult, if you've never learned how to swim, the last thing someone should do is throw you in the deep end. Okay, it's just not probably the best move there. And yet, sometimes we just kind of like, I'm going to just start. We maybe start in Genesis. I don't know if anyone's ever done that, but I remember, I didn't start reading the Bible. Started at the beginning, Genesis. And so on the left side of the Bible, work all the way right. And then you get about usually, Numbers, Leviticus, and you start, well, maybe I'm not supposed to read this anymore. It's just really hard reading, There's a lot of genealogies and lots of laws, and you're like, what is going on here? And so usually people get stuck around that part and stuff. We just want to encourage you, it's not about that. Don't get me wrong, it's the whole Bible for the whole people of God. But it's about us going, okay, God, what do you want us to know now? Where do we need to get into? And that's where Bible studies help, fellowships help, people getting together, wrestling, talking, listening, and growing from one another, growing from what God's doing in their hearts and their lives as well. We also talked about the importance of focus, the single-mindedness, that when we can really say, look, my life is about what God wants, not just what I want, but it's about fulfilling His purposes, that it's bigger than just me. We talked about total surrender and how it's important for us all the time, every day, and sometimes throughout the day, over and over again, to say, Lord, not my will, your will. Take this, use this for your good, your glory. Help me to believe that you're big enough to handle. It could be the virus. It could be a challenge in the business world. It could be a relational issue. Help me to really believe that you are who you say you are, and you're going to do what you say you're going to do. We also talked about the importance of biblical community, that in community, Christian community, biblical community, is that place where Jesus is the one who draws us together. Just like Jesus drew the disciples together, guess what? He's the one who draws us together. He's the one who brought me here. He's the one who brought you here. And it's our responsibility is to lean in and say, okay, Lord, now what do you want to do? How do you want us to grow in relationship together as well as with you? And in that, we learn that we actually encourage each other. We learn that we support each other. We learn that there's times when people step in. People have surgeries. Guess what? I'm one person. I can't be at every place at every surgery. But that's okay. God made that on purpose. And so He's given us great people that, from deacons to other partners in the church, that go and support and help. Miss Beatrice has been through just such a difficult time. And yet, man, I can't tell you how many people have gone and visited and prayed with her and supported her, encouraged her. And that's great. I'm so grateful for that. So grateful for that. There's been times when maybe you have had an issue. I know that the Hills brought a cake a few weeks ago to say thank you because they had some challenges this last about the last month and a half. And everyone just stepped in and helped out and was being the local church. And that's really, we're going to kind of keep talking more about that this morning. But to kind of keep with the review, we talked about also how as we come together in a community, that God's given us spiritual gifts, abilities, a personality even. And that as we discover our sweet spot, our abilities again, our passion and our context, that in that, God is going to do something specific in you and through you. That all of us have a general calling to Him, by Him, and for Him. But we also have this very specific calling too, a special one. And we got to pay attention to that. That's something we really have to discern and need the church's help in that. Figure out what that is. Today, I want to talk about how you offer your time. That all of us need to be offering our time to the Lord and say, Lord, how can I be a part of what you're doing in this world? We refer to it throughout the last year and a half as your frontline ministry. Where has God placed you for most of your time during the week? Where has He put you so that you can be His hands and His feet? He's put you in people's lives that are going to be much more effective than if I or an elder or another person of the church that had no relationship with Him would be, because you have that relationship. You have that trust. And so it's about us recognizing that and really partnering with what God's doing in their lives. It's not about you putting on a cape and being super Christian. We're not looking for that. In fact, they don't need that, and you don't need that. That's too heavy of a load for you to carry. But it's about saying, Lord, how can I be a part of what you're doing in this person's life? Is there something you want me to do? It can be simple as praying for them. When it comes to, say, someone especially far away, we have a special gentleman who's in our bulletin we pray for, and there's several others that serve in the military, and his base is under quarantine. No one's affected, but they're just like, listen, we're not taking any chances. But guess what? We're praying for him. We're lifting him up as the church, as part of our offering of our time. One of the things you may do might be helping prepare the food packs for Manatee Academy. We provide 30 packs of food to our next door neighbors with cooperation of other churches and stuff like that. They bring also many other bags of food to help support children that don't have food on the weekends. Guess what? They're still providing that, school lunches. They can come and get food during this time of break to help feed the kids. Those are things that we can do, we can volunteer with. Those are the things that sometimes we don't realize, but God has given us this thing called time. And believe it or not, it's one of the first things called holy in the Bible, that He made time. And there was the first day, and there was evening, and there was morning. And there was a second day. There was evening and there was morning. The days always start at night. Interestingly enough, most of us think of, you know, maybe midnight or, you know, or I woke up in the morning and now the day has started. But in our tradition, it starts in the evening, usually over a meal in community. There's something about sharing a meal with someone that's just so spiritual. Can be spiritual. Let's pay attention to that. There's a gentleman named Paul who said it like this. And whatever you do, I love how he puts this, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the word whatever in Greek means whatever. Crazy. So if he's like, if you still don't understand what I mean by whatever, in word or deed. He's like, in every part of your life, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So let's be crystal clear here. There isn't a place where there's okay, official sacred time, and then there's official secular time. Some people refer to it like, you know, oh, can't do this here at church. And I'm going, well, why would you do it anywhere else? That God is already at work in people's lives. It's not like we bring God to them. God brought you to bless them and encourage them, but he's already been at work in their lives before you had a clue, before they had a clue. When did God become more than just a word for you? God was doing something way before you had a clue of his work in your life. It's about us paying attention to our everyday lives and saying, Lord, what are you doing? Help me to know how to move forward. Help me to be who you want me to be in this situation. In whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. This should be one of the most freeing verses for every person that when they really get it, when they really understand what it means. If you're an architect, you're the best architect in the world because you're doing it for the Lord Jesus. If you're in construction, say you're in auto mechanics, you're the best mechanic you can possibly be. If you're a nurse or a caretaker, you're the best. If you're a teacher, you're the best. You get what I'm saying? It's not about, because I have a robe on, then I'm the spiritual one. It's about all of us are followers of the Lord, and whatever we do is just as sacred as everyone else. Believe that. That's good news. Be the person God called you to be. You may look in the mirror and go, I don't know what God's given me. I'm not happy with what he's given me. Let it go. He's put you in that context where he has you for a reason. He's let that happen so that you can learn to trust in him, so you can learn more about who he is and how good he is, how much joy he has in you. He looks at you and says, ah, how beautiful it is today, isn't it? What are we going to do today? Some days he looks at you and says, I have something special I need your help with. What? That's incredible. We don't plan. We plan. We do our best. We prepare. But in reality, it's God who's the one who's sovereign, not us. There's going to be those people that come in your lives and are so hurting, are so broken. And sometimes the most hurting people are hurting people. And they just, whatever they do, you just want to pull back. But the Lord just isn't behind you going, no, you're here for this. You're here for this. A couple weeks back, we had a situation with in our school, actually. We had a parent who had just, let's just say, didn't have a good day. Maybe a good several weeks. And let's just say it kind of came to a boiling point and just went over. And unfortunately, our director got the brunt of it. Miss Aggie, just trying to share some things with her, and it didn't go well. I share this to say this. It hurt bad for her. It did not feel good. She did not go, I love this, Lord. This is great. So glad you called me to serve here. I talked to her later that night when I found out everything that had happened, or I got word of things that had happened. I checked in with her, and she's like, I appreciate your call. I said, where are you at with things? Where are you at with this? She said, you know, I'm just praying that if the Lord could use this for good, that if it's to help her grow in her faith and her trust, then I'm okay with it. I'm like, that's awesome. That's beautiful. That's really where our hearts need to be. I know it wasn't immediate. It had been a couple hours, but she had gotten to that point and finally saying, Lord, I'd use this for your good. And we got together and we talked about it as church and family and said, school. I said, where are we at? What happened? And it was a huge misunderstanding. And, you know, some assumptions. But the reality was, she took her every day live and said, Lord, I want to try to honor you. When there was an attack given, Miss Aggie replied with, please, don't, no, let's, kept her calm. It's those moments that you just go, Lord, I don't know how you're going to use this. The mess. It's the messy stuff. But it's in those messes that God can do sometimes the biggest, deepest work. You go nowhere by accident. He put you there for a reason. Maybe you're in a mess right now in a relationship yourself. And you're like, I've been praying for years. Yeah? Maybe you need to invite other people to pray. Maybe you just need to just know that God loves you today. Maybe you're in a mess that's not relational. Maybe it's in business. Maybe it's in legal. Maybe it's a mess between you and God. Wherever you find yourselves, don't be afraid of letting God in there. Don't be afraid of letting him be the one in charge of where you're at. So, I have a question for you. Are you learning from Jesus how to live? I know that sounds a little weird, but that's really what discipleship is. That's really what it is to be invited into a relationship with Jesus, is learning moment by moment, day by day, in every situation, Lord, how do I go forward in this? How do I reply to this? What do I do here? Having a conversation, being still before him, because he's working for us to be transformed, to be the people he's called us to become. That doesn't happen with behavior modification, little tweaks here, just don't do the bad things. That's not what that's about. It's about us becoming, but becoming is something that takes time. It takes deep work in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds, every part of our lives, saying, Lord, help me. Now realize, to go back to it, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. We do this because we trust in the work of God, not because we're trying to be super Christians, but because of what God's done in us, now we respond in faith. Now we respond in kind. And in that transformation, he then sends us out, believe it or not. He sends you and I out to be again his hands and feet. He doesn't say just stay there, just stay hidden. He says it like this: you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Crazy. Now, the only way salt can lose its saltiness, because I was like, I did some research on this before. I was like going, when does salt lose its saltiness? Like, when does it get too old? And it doesn't ever lose its saltiness unless it's been used. If water has come, been transformed. So if we're staying and being the people God's called us to be, we're never going to lose our saltiness. It doesn't leave us like that. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Don't miss. He's not just giving a warning. He's trying to say, listen, you're made for more than this. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. He didn't make you salt of the earth and light of the world to hide you away. He didn't make you to be that so that no one could be blessed and encouraged in that. No, he said instead they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone. Hello, everyone in the house, not just the good people, everyone. He blesses and he loves all. In the same way, he's talking to us here, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. As we go through our days, as we live for him, as we surrender and take and say, Lord, not my will, your will, as we live out in relation with him, people see that. We don't have to worry about putting stuff on Facebook and making sure everyone knows what we did for ourselves. Don't be wrong. I'm not saying you can't use that for his glory and let that be salt and light as well. But it's really about what, notice it, as you do it, people will see it. As you are the salt of the earth. People see that. As you are the light of the world, people see that. And they start having a conversation with God. And in time, they start maybe asking you questions. This thing you do, when you pack that food up there, what's that about? Why do you do that? Or this group of people you get together and you sing with, why do you do that? And yes, I'm sure our lovely our team over here loves singing and likes using their gifts. But there's a deeper work at play. There's a deeper work God is working to do to grow us all in Him. Spiritual formation, becoming mature in Him, becoming more like Jesus, is when Christ is formed in us for the glory of God, for us to enjoy the abundance of goodness in our own lives, and for that abundance to be shared with others, for the sake of others. See, it's crazy is that your life, my life, is not just for us. It's not just for you. That the Christian tradition has been, when we get it right, when the church gets it right, it's when we are salt and light and we go. And no matter what happens, we keep surrendering. Lord, not our will, your will. This is hard, but he says, go anyways. They're kicking me in the face. Love them anyways. They're yelling expletives in the hallway at the church. Love them anyways. How are you partnering with God? How are you letting God work in you to do and accomplish his purposes? Which brings us back to the original. Are you learning from Jesus how to live? Are you learning from him how to take your days and say, Lord, not my will, your will. Help me, please. Every one of us has been called to be salt and light, and we have to pay attention to where God has placed us. Whether you're helping someone get to the store because they can't get there on their own, or praying with them before surgery, or visiting them after surgery, or maybe just calling and checking in on people and saying, hey, I just wanted to see how things are going. I know that the virus is scaring a lot of people. I just wanted to, you know, let you know I'm praying for you. Anything else I need to be praying for? Something like that can just mean so much. A cool, cold cup of water to someone that's so thirsty. How are you offering your time to be his hands and his feet? I pray that you'll seek the Lord with me in this. And in the next few weeks, we don't know what's going to happen. We really don't. There are churches that are shutting down and just having strictly online. If that's what they recommend, if it gets to a point where we have to self-contain ourselves, then we'll do that. We'll give you a web address and we'll go to town. But the reality is we don't want that. But guess what? We're going to take moment by moment and surrender before the Lord. The session is a group of people that love you and want to serve for you and serve with you and help you discern. The deacons are going to try to help love you through this as well, and so many others as part of our church family. But know this, we're in this together. That together with God, we're okay. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider how you have been working in our hearts and our lives, how you are working to transform us, and as you transform us, you send us out. May we not be afraid of that. May we be actually open to your leading. Minister to those parts in our lives, those spots that we just are struggling with, that we need you to move in a powerful way. Maybe to believe and have hope again in what you're doing in us and through us. Give us courage where we need it. Give us boldness to share the hope we have with others, and wisdom, Lord, and how to do that. But Lord, we also want to lift up our community. We pray for your church, Universal. We pray your will be done. Help your church continue to be a movement, not a monument. That, Lord, it's not about us, but about what you're doing and how we're partnering and walking in step with you. Continue to give us that picture of the future so that we may know where and how to follow. And for those, Lord, that are just maybe overtaken right now in fear or concern, Lord, give them again your peace. May they find their peace in you. We pray for our leaders. We pray for wisdom and favor and humility. Lord, we ask that you would help, again, the world turn to you in this time. Seek after you. We pray that, Lord, with all our heart, with all our strength. And Lord, we remember the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.